Blog Talk Radio.
I'm your host, Merle Exit. Well, it's like 2 p.m. in the afternoon. I purposely said that because on TV, I always hear they say things like it's 5 a.m. in the morning. Like, you know, like you're ready, the a.m. already means morning, you know? Okay, anyway, so it's 2 p.m. here. It's very cold outside. I don't know, we had some snow or something. I'm not sure what we had last night here in New York City. I think it's just like the beginning of more blizzardry that's going to be coming our way. I think the East Coast is all getting hit with it. God, I just want to thaw. I see. And, well, we're going to have a... The show is all about Florida, yes, because I went to Fort Lauderdale, and so we're going to have some guests on some of the things I did. I took a pedicab tour on a pedicab, and the owner of the pedicab company called Rick Shore is not Rick Shore, but it's Brogan Graham. And then also I'm going to talk about the entertainment near and around East Las Olas Boulevard, around where I stayed. And we're going to hear from the Broward Center for the Performing Arts. And then Jessica Taylor from Tourism. She's going to tell us about the beach area and some of the budding communities. And so first... let's a word from our sponsor, of course.
What would you do to earn brownie points? How about treating someone to what may be the best brownies they've ever tasted? Fairy Tale Brownies. They may seem like one of the richest bars of fudge, with varieties that include caramel, chocolate chip, espresso nib, raspberry swirl, mint chocolate, all made with Calbo dark Belgian chocolate. But yes, they are brownies. And that's no fairy tale.
Yes, and you can get these wonderful brownies on www.brownies.com. Unfortunately, not in your common stores or the stores that they are. They're in around Phoenix, maybe. Which is where the company is located. And, well, I think because Valentine's Day is coming up, they're going to have these wonderful, they call them truffles. They're small brownies that are enrobed in the dark Belgian chocolate. I'm getting hungry listening to that. Brogan, are you getting hungry listening to that?
Absolutely. As a peddling guy, I'm pretty much always hungry, but I think you know that, Merle.
Yeah. So how are you? What's the weather there, by the way?
Well, it's Florida. It's Florida, so we don't really talk about the weather. It's, 75 and sunny and beautiful. And you made a comment earlier about the East Coast getting hit with snow. We're not seeing any of that. We're feeling fine out here in the sunshine in Fort Lauderdale.
Screw you.
Oh, yeah. Well,
anyway.
You know, that's fine. you're just bitter. You're just bitter that your trip down here was too short.
Oh, do I know that. Really? I mean, then now I'm gonna have to come back down again. Tell us about. First, tell us about the. I know you're calling the company, you know, rickshaw, but it's really not a rickshaw as people think of it, like in China. It's a
pedicab,
as they call
it. Yeah, yeah. You know, the company is called Ocean View Rickshaw. You know, we've been here since 1997. We do actually have a few of the old classic running rickshaws. Yeah, we do. And, you know, they don't go out as much, but some of our more experienced drivers, if they want to take them out, we do let the guys take them out. They're pretty fun. Some of the better guys with them can do tricks with them and run up off walls and keep it pretty entertaining. So we do have those. But like you mentioned, I mean, the rickshaws are actually the majority of our fleet is about 60, 65 bikes, which are the tricycle format where people can just sit in the back and take a tour or take a ride at the Dolphins game or from one bar to the next or, you know, whatever it may be. We do have a number of locations here in South Florida, but our most important one is the shop here in downtown Fort Lauderdale.
Well, what I want to get to is the kind of the different ways that people avail themselves. In other words, like for instance, like we did a tour.
Right.
But that's not everybody does a tour. I'm sure most people say, I want to get from one place to another.
Right. Yeah, I mean, there's the transportation element where someone may just, you know, not want to drive their car from one restaurant to, you know, to another or to their hotel. A lot of the rides are up and down the A1A beachfront where they may be going from a hotel, whether they're in town on business or with their family or just vacationing. To a restaurant or back and forth, or maybe they want to enjoy some of the nightlife, but there is a transportation element. I think that, you know, for the most part, it's a lot of fun. You know, our drivers, they provide the entertainment piece of it, and like you mentioned, the ride that you and I went on when you were here was a tour, and we do 1-hour tours. If you call and request us, you can also call in just like a taxi cab and let us know how many people are in your party and where you're going, and I usually take those calls on my cell phone and just dispatch drivers who I know are out on the streets. So there's a lot of different ways to do it. We also do, you know, group rides, corporate rides when companies have an entire staff in town and they want to have a little bit of entertainment and transportation. You know, they may call ahead and book us weeks or months out to move an entire group around the beachfront or downtown or the Riverwalk area via pedicabs or rickshaws, and so it's a pretty cool service to offer here. And you know, we also do weddings and we do all sorts of crazy stuff. But yeah, for the most part, you know, picking up people on the fly on the street and, you know, selling rides is what our guys do best. So,
well, let's talk about the tour that I had, and then I also want to kind of ask you about, you know, like if somebody's, I guess, is a completely different tour if they say, oh, tour me around the beach area.
Right, right. So, you know, the downtown area is roughly 2.5 miles from the beachfront, and there's, you know, basically a big T intersection. Los Olas goes from the downtown area and the Riverwalk area where you and I toured. You know, we were on a 30 or 40-minute tour and then just hung out down there at the coffee shop in the Himmershey Village. But, you know, that's one, the Riverwalk, very historic area there. Up and down Los Olas is a pretty nice ride to see all the small shops and the restaurants and the history there. But, yeah, like you mentioned, I mean, a lot of folks are down on the beach and they want to just go for a stroll up and down the beachfront. And our drivers know that just south of Los Olas is a nice area, a little less hectic and a little less traffic, whether we're talking about people on foot on the sidewalks or, you know, cars. You can kind of get out of that congestion zone and just kind of enjoy the beach. And our drivers do a great job. I mean, they know what to show off. They know, you know, where a good romantic ride would be if that's the case, or if, you know, if kids want to go and see something fun or exciting or go to the playground. I mean, it really does depend. And in your case, like you said, I mean, we were downtown and we went up and down Los Olas and then the riverfront area and the Riverwalk, I should say. And then just dropped you off back at the Atlantic. So there's a lot of options.
Yeah. Now, as far as that, let's say, can you kind of, I mean, I could describe it, but I want you to kind of describe what East Olas area is like.
Well, the Los Olas area is it's very unique. It is very historic. There's a number of shops and restaurants that they look unlike anything else I've seen here in South Florida. I mean, it's a pretty romantic area, actually, to tell you the truth. I mean, there's a lot of charming small shops owned by Ma and Pa, but they also have a cheesecake factory. Places you can buy clothing, you can get souvenirs, but also very original places that give Fort Lauderdale, its personality. And, as far
would
as
you say
getting
it, would you say it's more of the, I guess, maybe artsy, trendy area of Fort Lauderdale?
I suppose. I mean, there are galleries up and down Los Olas. We just had a few weeks back, we had the Los Olas Art Fair. So there is that, and there are galleries sprinkled in the downtown area. I'd say it's probably the more trendy area, whereas the beachfront is more about, vacationers and folks that want to party. Los Olas, I think I could say that is mostly for, locals and folks that want to get a little bit more of the charm of Fort Lauderdale rather than just the beach, so...
And now, also the Riverwalk. I mean, like were we able to see all of it, or we just like could only get to a certain point on the by bike?
Yeah. Well, you and I went up right near Sailboat Bend, that area. And as you remember, there's all those yachts and all those gigantic sailboats there, and the bridges are going up and down, and the railroad bridges are going up and down, and they do call Fort Lauderdale the Venice of America because of all the waterways. The Riverwalk does. It follows the curvature of the New River, and the New River is it's a pretty main waterway for a lot of boat traffic. There's a good amount more that we didn't actually have time to get to that day, and it goes and follows pretty much alongside of Los Olas and the New River, and it's a great ride. I mean, day or night, it's Fort Lauderdale does a great job of keeping that area in pristine condition, well-lit, brick pathways, beautiful palm trees. I mean, it is a great place and probably one of my favorite places to ride in Fort Lauderdale.
So, and also around that area, that's where I get the Broward Center for the Performing Arts is, as well as the Science Center.
Right. Yeah, they're both right there. They're both... right up Second Street, where we're kind of the beginning, or the, I guess I should say, the middle of our tour. They're all pretty close, and that's one thing I really like about Fort Lauderdale is that our riders do enjoy the fact that everything's pretty close. I mean, unless you're talking about picking someone up at Broward and going all the way to the beach, there's a lot of different pockets where you can keep things pretty close. And like you mentioned, I mean, the Riverwalk is right. We'll lead you right up to the Performing Arts Center, and you're right across the street, just a short stone's throw away from the Museum of Science. So, yeah, it's kind of a nice part of downtown where everything's just so close and connected.
So now, before we get into like something like touring the beach area, what you say? How far? I mean, what's the longest distance that somebody will say, take me to?
Well, yeah,
I mean,
there's resorts up and down the beachfront. So you may run into somebody, down near, the Harbor Beach Marriott, which is just south of the South Beach Park on the river, or I'm sorry, on the beachfront. And they may want to go all the way up to Sunrise Boulevard, which is roughly a couple miles up and in the wind and right along next to the ocean. So, usually, I think a couple miles, 2 or maybe 3 miles would probably max it out. We do take folks from the beach all the way to downtown if they'd like. And, our drivers are pretty good at quoting prices and make it not only fun but also pretty affordable. So those rides get long. Our guys, they're extremely athletic. They're extremely fit.
They have to be, huh?
Exactly. I mean, everyone who rides has got legs made of steel, buns of steel. These drivers. So it's pretty cool. I mean, it's a great place to be working. I used to drive pedicabs and rickshaws, like I told you, in Boston. And now I'm down here managing this and training and hiring new drivers and working with the older drivers who've been here. And, you know, it's a very unique opportunity and a cool way to, as a passenger, as a customer of ours, it's a cool way to see the city or see the beachfront, if not both. And as these drivers, I mean, it's a great way to, you know, spend a month or two. And sometimes, you know, some of these guys have been doing it for, you know, 10 or 15 years. So it's definitely... it's definitely a unique service that we offer.
Now, the other thing I wanted to ask, I mean, I noticed, like, now, you don't add more than two, cabs, but I don't know how would you call it, seats? But, you know, there were two,
right,
it was connected,
right, right. So,
the bike was connected to two cabs, so to speak, right?
It's basically, I mean, in case you haven't seen, and if any of your listeners haven't ever seen one of these bikes before, it's instead of a bicycle that's pulling a trailer, it's easier to think about what a gigantic tricycle would look like. So when you're pedaling, you're driving the back wheels, and just above those wheels is a bench, which you can fit, you know, two or three adults comfortably, and our weight limit gives us up to two adults and two kids. And then... you know, like I said, the running rickshaws are just you just pull them, you just run, and that's the same thing. The cab that you were on happens to be the manager's cab, which is my bike, and our mechanic Justin Bernetti has done a great job, you know, putting bikes together and bikes out there. But he's hooked up two cabs in a row, so that I can actually tow 4 to 6 adults, which is, you know, again, it's wearing on the legs, but it's good. You know, it's just the more the merrier, I guess.
So you don't, you make sure that your drivers don't have a heart attack, huh? By pulling if you've got four people.
Yeah. Yeah, Merle, I mean, it's one of those things I tell folks that in the interviewing process, this is not a good job to try and get in shape. The guys who do the best, you know, show up in shape because it is tiring. You know, if you're talking about doing, you know, 5 to 12 hours in the sun and you know, busting your butt to deliver human cargo. I mean, it definitely does get heavy. The bikes are a couple hundred pounds, and you multiply the body weight of two adults or three adults, and you multiply that by how many rides per day. You know, it's definitely taxing, but I think most of our drivers will say that you do get used to it. You do figure out how to work the gearing system, and you get better, you get stronger, and more experienced, so...
Now, because, well, fortunately, I think the land is pretty flat. I mean, except for maybe the bridge. When you're going from, if you wanted to go from the, like, if I was at the river, you know, being at the Riverside Hotel, if I wanted to go from the Riverside to the beach.
Right.
And going over the bridge,
it's an interesting point you brought up, Merle. I mean, it's one of those things where we do follow all the laws of the road. All of our drivers have driver's licenses and do go through our training before we just send them out there on the road. So we have a system, you know, worked out with the police department where, you know, they're keeping an eye on our guys and you know, they won't hesitate to stop them if any rules are broken out there. And I also find some of the drivers if there's any issues with that. But yeah, up and over the bridges are the only spot where there's really any hills down here in this part of Florida. So the flat rides do help. But we do have a rule, and one of the rules with the city here is that no passengers are actually allowed to ride up and over just for a safety reason. So we let our customers know that they're going to actually walk over the bridges, and most folks have no problem with that. A lot of folks take photos
so you're not allowed to. So the passengers.
Right. Yep. Okay. Yep. It's one of the many safety rules that we follow too, just to make sure that if anything were to happen on the backside of a bridge, we just want to make sure that our drivers can get out of the way and not have to worry about the safety of our customers. So. You know, it's one of those rules that we just stick by it, and we're real serious about it. So, our drivers end up taking empty cabs up and over bridges, and most of our guys actually just pedal along slowly and just keep the conversation going with their customers as they're sightseeing on their short walk up and over the Las Olas Bridge. So that's kind of the deal with bridges, and you know, our commitment to safety is all, you know, always first, comes first. Safety comes first. So
do you tend to, let's say, because you're, let's say,
I mean, let me ask you, Merle. Let me ask you. Did you feel safe on your ride with me? I mean, let me ask
Oh, yeah. I felt safer than the one I took in New York City.
Yeah?
I didn't. Oh, that was just, I just couldn't help. I mean, it was like, I couldn't believe. I mean, the guy had wanted to make sure he got me to the theater on time. And I was like, cross town, and it was raining. And I'm thinking, yeah, no way. But this guy was pedaling through everything and onto the sidewalk when he had to, passing.
Yeah.
I mean, it was amazing. And he got there, I mean, even a few minutes before the show started. And I'm thinking there would have been no way for me to have been able to take a regular taxi cab to get there and be on time.
Well,
so
that's something that our drivers usually ask our customers. I mean, like I said, we do follow the rules. We do put safety first. But with that said, I mean, if you pick somebody up, you know, the first question is, hey, how you doing? You know, what's your name? Great. My name is Boris. My name is Jessica. My name is Yarl. Whatever driver you happen to have. And then, are you in a hurry? Because if you're in a hurry, that kind of changes the amount of socializing and the amount of hardcore pedaling. But yeah, here we're definitely not up on the sidewalks. We're signaling for turns. We have lights on all of our bikes. This you know, like I said, safety first. So, you know, another interesting thing, Merle, is that you said you took a ride in New York, and we have drivers from all over the world who have done this. A lot of drivers from New York City, a lot of drivers from our other locations in Boston and Newport, Rhode Island, our other location that we are connected to in San Francisco and in Boston, of course. I don't know if I mentioned that, but. So we have drivers that come down here, and we're hiring experienced rickshaw pedicab drivers, which is a cool thing. So not only are you meeting people from all over the world when you take a ride with us, but you're also meeting guys that have stories, you know, crazy stories of doing this for, you know, numbers of years while they were in college or between jobs, or maybe this is their lifetime career. And like I said, I mean, meeting these guys, you know, even like the conversations that you and I had, you learn so much about the world and about people just by meeting such crazy characters that have such cool stories. So,
yeah, that's really. But also, the one of the things, I guess, like, do you know? I mean, do you know like all the in places to go to? Like, if I said, you know, I'm, in, you know, like, I mean, like here it was that I couldn't have been situated better between two Italian bakeries, huh?
Right. Yeah, that's right. You had your pick of gelato. You were sitting there telling me, you don't like that gelato, you like that gelato. And I'm thinking, this lady knows her gelato. Merle, you've been everywhere. And I was so pumped to meet you and be able to take you around this city. But, yeah, I mean, our drivers know, they know the city inside and out. And maybe they haven't sat down at every single white tablecloth, but they can tell you the better seafood restaurants and the best place to get a cup of coffee and the best places to see a movie and those things. I mean, a lot of these drivers, some are seasonal. You know, some do come down from Boston while the snow is hitting like it is these days, just to ride for a few months, just to keep the pedaling going and just to be somewhere warm and kind of have a working vacation. And so they have to learn quickly where things are. And we do have a map that helps them out with that. You know, plus we're connected to InTown 411, which is an informational map about Fort Lauderdale. And our drivers have those maps on their bikes, and you know, InTown has been awesome. It's been a way to, you know, the driver can tell you all, you know, their experiences with Fort Lauderdale and where they, you know, they think a fun time is or a good place to get, you know, some beers or a good place to hang out on the beach or what. But then, you know, they can also give them the InTown 411 map, and, you know, having these companies hooked up together, you know, we've been able to really show off Fort Lauderdale and give people not only a great tour but send them on their way. You know, kind of knowing what's up, you know, kind of knowing which direction to go and what things are good, great, and the best. So that's our connection with that, and just kind of selling the city to whether they're locals or people that are just in town on vacation.
Now, by the way, I'm curious about, in terms of, there's also like a section, is there like another area of Fort Lauderdale? I mean, I went up on, like up to the beach, and I also
mm-hmm.
took the water taxi.
Mm-hmm.
But the area where the, I guess the convention center is there
mm-hmm.
really anything there, or it's just, you know?
Well, like I said, I mean, Fort Lauderdale spreads out pretty far. You know, also with the waterways, I mean, it does get kind of chopped up and a little bit confusing for someone who's there for the first time. Yeah, the convention center is down the beach a ways, and you know, with folks listening in today, it's kind of hard to explain the whole map of Fort Lauderdale. But I think that's the best way
yeah.
to
okay.
kind of understand it. The beach is, you know, on the eastern edge, just right there on the Atlantic, and we do have a lot of intercoastal waterways and rivers that kind of shape what is Fort Lauderdale. So it is an interesting place to navigate. You know, you get back in some of those neighborhoods and you come to dead ends and you come to, you know, little bridges that swing or that open or that do this and that. And it's a unique place. There's no question about it. It's a very unique place. I haven't lived anywhere like this in my life. And I've not quite like you, but I have been all over the world as well. And, you know, it's definitely some place you should come see. It's different from Miami. It's different from Orlando. It is one of a kind, Fort Lauderdale, and it's great to see it, you know, by water taxi, but hopefully folks want to come and take a ride with us at Ocean View.
Oh, by the way, someone wants to say hello to you. That was Esther. Wait.
Was that a cow eating a sheep?
Doesn't it sound like that?
I thought I heard a mooing. Was that the cow in the beatbox and the chicken was rapping? What was that? See, that was me. Yep. That was my cow. I grew up in Wisconsin.
Oh.
I can do a cow.
Oh, okay. I see.
Again. That's a cow practice down here in South Florida. Come on, Merle. You got any more questions? What else you got for me?
I have a joke for you.
All right.
I got a joke. Okay. Do you know why Michelle Obama wears sleeveless dresses?
I don't know. I've never thought about it. Why don't you go ahead and tell me?
She wears them because she's exercising her constitutional right to bear arms.
I don't really know if I can laugh at that. That was kind of a corny joke.
Yeah, I know.
Aren't all jokes kind of corny?
No, but it's really difficult for me to do scenes from The Wizard of Oz on the radio.
Yeah, how about this one? It's a knock-knock joke.
Okay.
Knock-knock.
Who's there?
Interrupting cow.
Interrupting cow.
See what I did there? I acted like a cow that was interrupting you.
Yeah, I know,
but you
didn't interrupt me quick enough, though.
Yeah, I got to work on my cow speed, my cow interruption speed. I feel
yeah.
like this interview is going pretty well. How do you think this is going so far, Merle?
What?
Pretty good?
Of course. I mean, cool. I think I... let me ask you, would you say the least amount of people... are those that say, hey, I really got to get... I mean, well, let me back this up on something. Is there such thing as traffic there?
In Fort Lauderdale?
I've never seen any traffic in that area on East Olas.
Yeah, there is. And I think that, it comes around the time of the day that you'd expect when folks are going to work, when folks are coming home from work. It's not that bad, though, and I think that the only time you really see cars is coming to a complete standstill is when there is boat traffic with some of these masts or some of these, multi-layered yachts and cruise ships that cannot pass under the bridges without the bridges opening up. So when those bridges open up to let the boats through, the cars have to wait, and then those cars usually pile up, and then there's some sort of what you New Yorkers would call traffic. But it only lasts for, you know, sometimes at most like 15 or 20 minutes, and then everyone just... it's a little bit frustrating, and then they move on. But
so,
no, we have traffic like you know it. We don't have traffic like that in a way.
Okay. So in other words, you're not going to find, the average person is not going to say, oh, my God, I got 10 minutes to get to the show.
Yeah, you know, our service here in Florida is different than the other cities that we're associated with. I mean, we are more of a, you know, a nice, clean presentation. Our drivers look good. Our bikes look good. You know, the sun is out. It's more about just enjoying yourself. You know, people do jump on and say, man, I got to go put money in my meter. Or, you know, man, I'm trying to get to this movie. But mostly we don't get folks that are in a huge hurry.
Okay. That's cool.
It's real
cool. What's the website?
Well, our website is OceanViewRickshaw.com. Our company is called Ocean View Rickshaw. So it's www.OceanViewRickshaw.com. And you'll see when you go to the site. I mean, we do a pretty good job of keeping everyone updated. We have Twitter updates all the time, and we are on Facebook as well. So Ocean View Rickshaw. And, yeah, you get all the information there. You can call and book a party. We could be at your party. We could get, you know, just a couple weeks ago, a woman in the area celebrated her 50th birthday, and she had a number of bikes come over just because she knew that the party she was having at her house was going to be attended by a couple hundred people, and getting to and from their cars. She just kind of wanted to have a unique little twist of her own for this party she was throwing. So she had us come over with the trailer, and we brought the bikes, and it was cool, you know, just to be able to kind of add to the occasion by delivering people to and from their cars. And yeah, you can definitely get all the information you need about the company. If you're interested in driving, if there's anyone who's listening to this in the South Florida area, or up in Boston, or in San Fran, or in D.C., you can go to our website, and again, www.OceanViewRickshaw, and look at how to become a driver. We're always hiring, and we're always looking for good people. So that's our information, and that's the story, Merle.
Okay. Well, I so appreciate your calling in to tell us about this.
Absolutely, and I'm glad I had an opportunity to meet you. Those of you guys who are listening, Merle's a pretty crazy lady. If you haven't met her already, you should make a point to do so. She's seen everything on the planet. But mostly, like if I remember correctly, mostly you're about traveling in the United States, because
you feel,
and I agree with you, that there's so much to see in this gigantic country that we call the United States that, well, until you've seen all this, you don't necessarily need to go flying over some oceans. But it was very nice to meet you, Merle, and I appreciate you having us on the show. Anytime you're in Fort Lauderdale, feel free to give us a call, and we'd love to show you around.
Okay.
All right.
Thank you so much. Have a good day.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Yeah, and, one of the places that, as I said, that I got to was the Broward Center for the Performing Arts, which is what we're going to talk about right now. William, you're there, huh?
Hello, Merle. How are you doing today?
Oh, just fine. It's just freaking cold up here,
and
warm down there.
Beautiful down here. We're tying ourselves down, not running to the beach, which is only about a mile away from the Broward Center. So a beautiful day in Fort Lauderdale, but we're reading the weather reports and wishing that all of you could be down here.
Yeah, I certainly wish I could be down there. Well, I'd like you to talk about, I understand that I only visited one, I guess, aspect of the performing arts by being at that center?
Well, the Broward Center for the Performing Arts, we're celebrating our 20th anniversary this year. And, we have three theaters in our main building here. We have the Allreen Theater, which is our large theater where we present our Broadway shows, our big concerts. We have a smaller theater called the Amaturo Theater, which seats about 600 people. Robert Klein filmed an HBO special here back in the summer in the Amaturo Theater. We had a great time with him. And then we have a performance space, which is called the Abdo New River Room, where we present smaller concerts and where our dining and entertainment options occur, including Laughing Matters at the Broward Center, which is a fantastic comedy show with full meal and everything else. But, yeah, we have other theaters too that the Broward Center either manages, or we have helped get started. It's part of our mission to reach out to other theaters, smaller theaters within the South Florida area, and give them a helping hand whenever we can. So we've been successful at doing that also.
Now, I went to see, I saw Les Mis. Is it still playing? It's not still playing, is it?
Les Miserables closed on Sunday. It was a fabulous run here. I saw it, and just this is the third time I've seen the show. And this, as you probably noticed if you've seen it before, a completely new version, new staging, new scenery. But it was just fantastic, and we were playing to almost sold out audiences the entire run.
You know, I'm glad you said that. When you said new scenery and new staging, because I sat there, I'm going, I sat through it going, I don't remember this at all.
Yeah, it's a lot of
nothing. Nothing is going in my memory. I'm going, did I hate the play? Why don't I remember anything?
A lot of people commented on us, like on our Facebook pages or through our call center, or just comments around the building, that at first they missed the revolving part of the stage, what they used to call the turntable in the other productions of Les Mis,
which was a fantastic part of it.
Yeah, but they got rid of that for this 25th anniversary tour. And also the backdrops that you saw were based on the paintings of Victor Hugo, who wrote the novel Les Miserables. And they used a fantastic new animation technique to where, I mean, it looked like the people were moving through the scenery, like it was moving behind them. So there actually seemed to be movement happening on the stage when actually the actors were just stepping in place. But that was another fantastic part of it.
Moving a little bit.
Very little. So that was just some of the new aspects of it. And, of course, some of the casting was new. With an African-American actor portraying Jean Valjean and also an actress playing Eponine in the show. So just a lot of great new twists. So if you've seen, I don't know if it's coming up to your area or anywhere near any of the areas where your listeners are across the country, but you need to see this production. If you've seen Les Mis before, it's a new experience, a complete new experience.
Okay, so in other words, this wasn't necessarily just simply designed saying, oh, we're taking on the road and we have to fit it into this place, the Broward Arts Center, and do
This is the 25th anniversary tour, and it was a deliberate effort on the part of Cameron McIntosh, who's produced so many great plays and musicals, and his design team to completely change up the look of the show. Even I think the last time Les Miserables was on Broadway was about 5 years ago, 6 years ago in a revival. But it kept all of the old ingredients, the turntable, the giant transformer type of barricade that came together that we all remember. And it was a deliberate effort that said, you know what, when we're going to go back on the road and we want to show people something brand new, something different. So whatever city it goes to, you're going to see this fantastic presentation.
And let me ask you a question. You know that what got me crazy is I'm thinking to myself, where is that whole thing about? I mean, now maybe you remember. Did they do a trial scene in the beginning to show the whole thing about, you know, Jean Valjean and that he. What do you call it? You know, the reason that he got imprisoned in the first place. Or am I mistaking it with the movie?
It might be the movie where that is. You know, and I'm trying to remember from the first. I mean, the first time I saw Les Miserables was the first tour, so that had to be like 1989 or 1990. And I'm afraid my memory is not that good. I have trouble remembering what I had for breakfast today, but. You know, there were some changes in how they presented some of the information in this production. I think one of the biggest to me was in the past in productions, the song that he sings, Bring Him Home, which is so beautiful, was done in the sewers. And this time around, if you remember, it was actually done at the barricade where Marius was below Jean Valjean and was... Mm-hmm. You know, and Jean Valjean was looking at him and realizes now that this is the young man who has fallen for the girl that he's raising, Cosette. And they changed that up and had that song happen at that point in the show instead of later on in the show as it had been before. So they played with the a lot of different aspects of the show this time around.
Oh, okay. So the thing that I was very pleased about, I'll let you know, it was the, and I don't know whether it's just who you get or whatever. I had seen, I saw a show that was on tour when I was in California only about a month or two before, and although the show was good, I didn't find the caliber as high as the show I saw there. I'm curious, do you get to be there when they rehearse the show?
Well, generally with shows like Les Miserables, any of the Broadway touring shows, they come in already, they've been on the road probably for several weeks or months before they come to us. Now, in the case of Les Miserables, we were actually the second stop on the tour. I believe they were in, either Philadelphia, someplace up north before they came to us.
Mm-hmm.
At Rock of Ages, which was the show that we had before that with American Idol's Constantine Marolles, actually we were the first stop on the tour. But usually these shows, they come in already pretty much rehearsed and have it all down. We don't normally get to go in and sit through rehearsals. That's a pretty private thing. The show doesn't want distractions while they're rehearsing or preparing to come in or anything. But I think sometimes it's just, different shows have different production values and, different needs of the actors and of what happens on stage. I mean, I think we've all seen a show where we walked out kind of shaking our head going, wow, what happened there? What went wrong? And then you see a show like Les Miserables that was just here. That was it really just exceeded every expectation you had when you walked into the theater.
Oh, yeah. And I love the theater. I like the setup, the way the seats are set up. They're not, not like a Broadway theater.
We have more room. I'm not a huge guy myself, but I have been in some Broadway theaters where I've literally gotten up and watched the second act standing up behind the last row of the main floor section because I'm just it's too claustrophobic for me to sit in some of those Broadway theater seats. So we do have a little more comfortable seating areas at the Broward Center, and we're also designed and set up so that you really can't be blocked by the person in front of you. It's staggered seating, so the seat you're in with the two that are in front of you are kind of a little bit to your left and a little bit to your right, so you can usually see through the heads of the people in front of you. So pretty much any place you sit in our theater, we like to say there's not a bad seat in the house, and I believe for like 99% of our seating, that's absolutely true.
How large is the theater seating wise?
It seats a little bit under 2,800 in our large theater.
Okay, and how does that compare to a Broadway theater in terms of seating?
Most Broadway theaters, I don't know exact counts on them, but I've certainly sat enough of them to know that they're probably more around the 1,500 seat range. 12 to 1,500. I think we're probably in pretty good comparison to a lot of performing arts centers across the country.
Mm-hmm.
Most of them tend to somewhere, build somewhere between about 2,200 to about 2,800 to 2,900 seats, depending on the venue. Now, some are larger. The Fox Theater in Atlanta, I believe, is larger. And certainly the Caesars Palace Theater, the Palladium, is certainly larger. And which, by the way, the Broward Center in the last few months was recently voted by Billboard as the third best theater in the world based on ticket sales. And the only two theaters that came in front of us were actually the Palladium and the Fox in Atlanta. And considering that the Palladium gets stars like Elton John and Bette Midler and Cher and Celine Dion on a regular basis, for months at a time, we're pretty proud of that fact that, we're able to compete with some of the largest theaters in the world in terms of the talent that we bring in here and the loyalty that our patrons show to to this theater, because we sort of have a lot of competition in our area. We have, we have another performing arts center in Miami about 25 miles to the south of us. We have about 40 miles or a little bit less to the north of us, the West Palm Beach Theater. And then we have the Hard Rock Casino and their theaters about 10 to 15 miles from us. So, you know, we have some stiff competition and some great competition. You know, when you have great competition, it makes you stronger and makes you better.
Yeah, now, do you usually reserve that particular theater for, like, Broadway tourists? I mean, is there something else that comes up that is not, I mean, that on a large scale?
Well, we have a pretty robust Broadway season each and every year. As a matter of, you know, this year I think we have, if I'm not mistaken, let's see, we've had 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. We're going to have a total of about 9 shows this year, Broadway shows. But, yeah, we present all different types of shows there. We have the Florida Grand Opera that presents there, the Miami City Ballet, which is a world-renowned ballet company, presents here at the Broward Center. We have concerts in the hall. You know, this Saturday coming up, we have the famous jazz singer Diana Krall will be here. Dennis DeYoung and Dix.
Okay, so when she's coming there, mm-hmm. which theater will have her in, the same theater I was in, or?
Yes, yeah, the large theater, okay. The Allrene Theater. Yeah, that's where our premier performances. When we bring in artists like that, we know, like Diana Krall is sold out. I think there's maybe 21 seats, or I heard this morning at a meeting, about 21 seats left for that show. So we're going to sell out almost every seat for her, or for Tony Bennett, who's coming March 5th. You know, those shows are going to sell out completely in there. So, yeah, we bring in a lot of great titles into that theater beyond the Broadway. But certainly Broadway is a strong backbone for us, you know, and we present with Broadway Across America, who brings the shows in, and they're a great partner. That brings the, and we really get premier shows that, you know, a lot of South Florida. We were the first theater here in South Florida to get Lion King when it first toured, to get the Radio City Rockettes Christmas Extravaganza, Jersey Boys when it came to South Florida. We were the first theater to get it. Rock of Ages, which was just here recently. You know, so there's a lot of times that we're the premier venue in South Florida to get those first run or first tour shows.
Just to get an idea, price-wise, how does it compare to getting a ticket for a Broadway show? I mean, let's say, are you, I guess it depends on where you're sitting, right? There's certain, of course, by section.
Yeah, there's absolutely, you know, your lesser price tickets are going to be up in the balcony area. We have 3 levels in the Allrene Theater. We have the main floor, which is divided into the lower orchestra and the upper orchestra. And then we have the mezzanine, which is the next level up, sometimes also called the loge in some theaters. And then our balcony is the third highest level. So for our Broadway shows, the general price range is usually you can get a seat in the rear of the balcony for probably around $25 to $35, depending on the show. And generally the highest price ticket for some of the best seats in the house will usually run you between about $75 and $80. So a lot less expensive than Broadway
shows.
I'm sorry,
did you say the highest? The
highest price.
$80?
Yeah, for most shows.
Oh, my God.
Now, there will be some shows that come in that will have VIP pricing for that, you know, some like maybe the first 10 rows of the center orchestra or something like that. And those times you can see some of those seats jump. But for the most part, the patrons in South Florida can spend only, you know, somewhere between $70 and $80 and get some of the best seats in the house for our Broadway shows and for a lot of the shows that we bring into the Broward Center.
Wow. That's amazing. I mean.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean
we have Wicked coming in, and I know we have some of those higher price tickets. You know, for Wicked, I think the top ticket price for that show is about $130. But again, that's a limited amount of seats, and the next price down drops to about $75, I believe, or $77. So mm-hmm. It's very affordable. You know, you can buy a subscription to shows down here for, you know, about less than $500. You know, and get good seating for that.
Now, do you also, when you there was another show you mentioned, something with laughing?
Laughing Matters at the Broward Center,
Now, Is there another venue other than that place where I was? Is there another venue that also has entertainment?
Right. We have three theaters at the Broward Center. The large one, again, is called the Allreen Theater, and that's where we present our big shows.
When you say at the Broward, in other words, that particular location.
Right. Right.
The
location, for sake of understanding, is called the Broward Center for the Performing Arts, but within the Broward Center itself are three different theaters or performance spaces.
Inside that building, you're saying?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Oh, okay. But yeah. I was getting something about that there was another venue that's part of. That's not right, then?
Well, we have the three theaters here. Again, we have the smaller theater, which is the Amaturo, and then we have the New River Room, which houses Laughing Matters at the Broward Center. But we also manage, like right down the road from us, the Parker Playhouse, which was the main theater in South Florida for many years.
That's what I was thinking. There was another theater. So the Parker Playhouse, and what is, like, that? What would you see there?
Parker Playhouse is, and personally, it's my favorite theater. This is just a great historic theater. And you talk about, you know, we talked about seating before. You talk about comfortable seating. What I love about the Parker is you can be seated in there, and if someone needs to get by you to get to their seat, you have so much space between the rows and legroom, you don't need to stand up to let them by. So that's one of the first things I love about it. It's a little bit less than 1,200 seats in the theater. That theater was built in 1965, I believe, and it was the main theater for musicals, for Broadway touring shows, up until the time that the Broward Center was built in 1991. It was completed.
Okay.
And it has the most amazing ceiling and artwork. You know, it's just really great old-style theater. And we bring shows in there. We have, like, the show Spring Awakening will be coming there in March.
Did you
Tony
see it
Award
on
winner.
Broadway?
I did. I did see that on Broadway. Yeah.
I have to tell you, it's one of the only, and I have to say recent, and I'm saying recent meaning it, you know, not the old classic kind of, you know, like South Pacific or Oklahoma, but it's the only recent one where I can actually take the CD of the music and enjoy it, the entire CD. That the music, that's from what I felt, that the music was really great.
Yeah, I think there are a few shows that come along every decade or so that reinvent our definition of Broadway. You know, back in the 90s, that show was Rent. And I believe that show for the time span between 2000 and 2010 was probably Spring Awakening, because it kind of turned the concept of the Broadway musical on its ear. It definitely, you know, goes after subject matter that hadn't been approached before, not that strongly anyway, in a show. And the music was not typical Broadway music. You know, there's no Some Enchanted Evening in there. But you're right, it's music that absolutely holds you, and you just listen to one song after another after another. It's a great show. A little fact that maybe a lot of people don't know. Do you know the executive producer of that show is the actor Tom Hulce, who I think we all remember from the brilliant film Amadeus?
I didn't know that.
Yeah, he played Mozart in that. Also, for those a little bit older like me, I remember him from Animal House. He was also in that. He played the young man who was being inducted into the fraternity there. I had a chance to meet with him and speak with him when I saw the show on Broadway a couple of years ago. And he looks a lot like Santa Claus now. He really does. he's the producer for that show and very involved in the promotion of it around the country. So that show is coming to Parker Playhouse. And we do a lot of... We bring in a lot of stand-up comedians to that space also. You know, we've had Wanda Sykes. Wanda Sykes has been there, and Lewis Black has come into there. We had a show with Debbie Reynolds in there a year or two ago. And we've got a tribute band, One Night of Queen, with Gary Mullen, which is a great show, which is coming in there. Arlo Guthrie has been there, Gordon Lightfoot. So it's kind of, we use that as kind of a different space and a different type of audience, and it fills that that theater space between the size that we don't have here at the Broward Center, because we have a 600-seat theater and we have a 2,800-seat theater. But Parker, being that 1,200-seat theater, presents a whole new experience for the customer, for the patron. So, and we're just thrilled to be involved with that. You know, we kind of stepped in at a time when that theater was starting to kind of go under, and we were able to revive it by bringing in our ticketing experience, our infrastructure experience in terms of programming, and just getting the building back up and running. It's been a true success story, and everyone here just loves our association with Parker Playhouse.
Now, I'm curious again in terms of price-wise. So what are we looking at to see, let's say, Spring Awakening?
Spring Awakening, I don't have the price right in front of me, but I can tell you that I do know, if you remember in Spring Awakening, there are seats on the stage.
I was going to ask, are they doing that?
Yes, they are. Yeah, we're
okay.
Keeping that aspect of it. And those seats are only $25. So... I believe the highest price seat for Spring Awakening, if I'm not mistaken, still falls in around that $65 to $70 range. But again, it's a really intimate experience in that theater. And a lot of shows that we bring into Parker Playhouse are generally priced more around the $35 to $55 range, depending on the artist, depending on the show itself. But very affordable. And, you know, we do offer group discounts. So if you get a group, for a lot of shows, it's you just get, you know, 9 of your friends together to make a group of 10, and you can receive a 10% discount, and the processing fees are much lower. So there are a lot of ways to save money to come to the theater, too. For our Broadway shows, we have $20 student rush tickets for the kids and for college students who can't really afford it, and they get great seats in the theater. I mean, my daughter... for Rock of Ages came and did the student rush ticket, and she ended up sitting third row center for Rock of Ages for $20.
Wow.
So, and it's not because she's my daughter. Anybody who walked up would have gotten the same deal.
Now, just I'm curious, Spring Awakening, when is it going to start?
Spring Awakening will be here at the end of March. It's playing for 5 performances only, Friday, March 25th through Sunday, March 27th.
Okay. I have I have relatives in the area.
Ah, no, you definitely want them to. Yeah, tell them to buy early.
Yeah, I'm sure they've been to the center, but yeah, I want to let them know. Of course, I don't know. Have to figure out whether you have to. I see Spring Awakening is kind of like maybe a cross. I saw it as a cross between Rent and Hair.
Yeah.
I think so. Yeah, so you have to have liked those kind of shows.
Well, I think you have to be willing to expand your horizon beyond the what you think of when you think of a Broadway musical. I mean, so many Broadway musicals, as entertaining as they might be, they sometimes don't go after the harder subject matters. Well, they do have elements of drama in them and everything, but, you know, Rent certainly opened the door wide for exploring social issues, you know, sexual gender issues, and bringing it right out on the stage and talking about it openly and honestly. Spring Awakening is doing the same thing, you know, with the talk of, you know, frank talk about teenage suicide and child abuse and it does it in that innocuous setting almost of, you know, it takes place in like in the late 1800s or early 1900s, if I remember correctly. And yet they mix it up with a sound that is definitely modern music.
Yes.
You know, so it's the perfect blend of a musical. And yeah, you do have to, you know, the language can be pretty explicit. And there is one scene where, you know, there is some nudity involved in it. So you have to be prepared
right.
for those things. But I think if you walk in, I think most people who are theater goers do have a bit of an open mind, maybe more so than the average public. And, you know, they can take those things for what they're worth and put them in the context of art. And art really should make you think. It really should shock you a little bit. And it should sometimes make you squirm in your seat a little bit. But at the end of it all, it also should give you a great appreciation for what you've been watching. And I think Spring Awakening does a fantastic job of doing that.
Okay.
And you mentioned hair. We'll be having hair coming in the summer also. So the touring company of hair comes in here in June. So,
wow.
Yeah, we've got the whole gamut. We've got hair and Mamma Mia coming in the summer. So we just keep the entertainment coming year-round, even though we can be a bit seasonal down here in Fort Lauderdale. But we definitely want anyone coming down here to, come visit us. We'd love to see you. We'd love to have you come visit our theater. You can purchase tickets online at browardcenter.org. And everything
I was
going to
ask you
possible.
The website. So
yeah,
it's www.browardcenter.org.
Yeah, Broward Center being one word, browardcenter.org. That'll get you right on. And that will give you access also to our other theaters, the Aventura Arts and Cultural Center, and the Parker Playhouse, and the Mineachi Performing Arts Center. These are all other theaters that we also manage or have a hand in South Florida.
Okay. And as I had commented before for my prior guest, you can, get the water taxi. Bring you
isn't that great?
Close enough. Yeah.
Yeah, that's something. They call Fort Lauderdale the Venice of America, and Broward Center sits right on the beautiful New River. And, you can take a water taxi right up to our doorstep, basically, and then get back in it and go see some of the great sights, the beautiful multi-million-dollar homes that are right down the waterway from us. And it'll take you right down the Intercoastal Waterway, shopping at the Galleria Mall, and right to the beach. So you never even have to get in a car in Fort Lauderdale. There's always some way to get around. You never even have to get behind a wheel.
Yeah. Which I didn't.
Yeah,
Yep.
You had the true Fort Lauderdale experience.
Yeah. Well, I appreciate your calling in and sharing the information. Now I can have more to write about.
Well, thanks for having me. And, we hope to see everyone. When you come down to Fort Lauderdale, get out of that cold weather, everyone.
Yeah.
And come on down to Fort Lauderdale.
Yep. Thank you so much. And,
all right.
Have a great day.
You too, Merle. Thanks again for having me.
You're welcome. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Oh, yes. So, Jessica, can I come back? Jessica?
Sorry? Yeah?
Can I come back to Fort Lauderdale? If I get on the plane now. Oh, God.
I know. You guys are getting pretty beat up there in the Northeast, aren't you?
I have been sick since I got back.
Oh, dear. Well, you were feeling pretty good when you were here, so I think maybe you should return.
Yeah, I mean, it's like totally congested, you know? And the weather's just going to get worse, but that's not why we're chatting. We're chatting because I want people to kind of get that, although I stayed on East Olas, which I'm glad I did, only because I'm not a beach person. So it's like a whole completely different section. So what I want to have you tell us, introduce yourself. Tell everybody who you are.
Well, I'm Jessica Taylor. I'm with the Greater Fort Lauderdale Convention and Visitors Bureau, and I had the pleasure of taking Merle out while she was here visiting. And I promote tourism here to our beautiful sun-kissed shores in Greater Fort Lauderdale.
Okay, so let's now get away from East Olas and tell us about the rest of, are you dealing with just Fort Lauderdale or does it also, I guess Hollywood is the abutting town?
Yes, actually, I promote all that we have here in Greater Fort Lauderdale, which encompasses everything from the seagrass of the Atlantic, from between Miami and Palm Beach, and then everything that goes all the way west to the Everglades. So we have quite a big area here, and there's over 31 different cities and municipalities that make up our destination, and each kind of has its own different attraction or feel to it. And along our 23 miles of beach coastline, there's 8 different beach communities. So Fort Lauderdale is probably the best known for most people, especially in the Northeast. Everyone kind of knows where the boys are and sort of our history. But I think there are plenty of different parts to and areas to the destination that people probably don't even know that they're in when they come to visit. They just kind of lump everything together as Fort Lauderdale, and that's kind of why we call the destination Greater Fort Lauderdale, because it's everything that's sort of in Fort Lauderdale and the surrounding areas.
Okay, so, well, first I want to get to the familiar part, meaning where we went, and then I want to have you talk about areas we didn't go to.
Sure.
So, basically, we drove up the beach to see what was there.
Yeah.
And then went, and then we had lunch at Galanga. Restaurant, and I think Galanga Thai and Sushi Restaurant was
there. It's Galanga Thai Kitchen and Sushi Bar. So.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I knew it was
and that's,
close
that's
to that.
In Wilton. Yeah, that's in Wilton Manors. That's also sort of known as the Gayborhood here in Greater Fort Lauderdale, where there's Wilton Manors has Wilton Drive, which is sort of the drive, as they call it, where all the bars and the restaurants and the shopping is, that sort of caters to a lot of gay-owned and operated businesses there. And it's a really nice section of Greater Fort Lauderdale, and we had a really lovely lunch there. I think my favorite is the lobster sushi rolls, and it's an area that I think people like to go to do a little bit of a pub crawl in the evening. There's a lot of nightlife there. There's more information on our website at sunny.org/GLBT. There's a lot of those businesses are listed there. We also have a Mild to Wild aggregated website that people can go to, especially on their smartphones, which will give them a lot of opportunity to explore a mild or a wild experience in Greater Fort Lauderdale. And that's sunny.org/mild to wild.
Yeah, as we were conversing about that particular area, you wouldn't say it's like the gay section, like Provincetown being, in other words, it's not as, I don't want to say open. I mean, not going to find the people walking hand in hand and...
Well, I think that you do. I think you see that, you can see that you definitely can see that kind of all over the destination. I think there's just a heavy concentration of those, gay-owned and patroned kind of businesses in the gayborhood. But I think that it's not probably as sort of, you might want to say on the wild side, like Provincetown is. I think it's a community. We have a really close-knit, community structure. I think there's an openness, but not where people would feel that if they were, straight, that they would feel out of place. Or I think it's a welcoming vibe.
Oh,
gay or straight.
Are all the gay resorts in that area too, or are they closer to the beach?
There are a few that are in Wilton Manors, but most of the gay guest houses are down closer to the beach area. There's about 30 gay guest houses in Greater Fort Lauderdale, where we've consistently been voted a top gay beach resort town. We have the sun. You know, we have the great weather. We have a great local community and good, you know, local infrastructure. So there's a great local community that kind of can mix with, you know, lots of visitors. We get about almost a million GLBT travelers each year. We're going to be hosting the International Gay Lesbian Travel Association Conference this year in May. So we're really excited about how, you know, open and welcoming the destination is and how, you know, how people recognize that.
Now, when it really boils down to it, there aren't very many resort or hotels that are actually on the beach. Is that true?
That's true. We do have a few that have sort of been grandfathered in that have been there for a long stretch of time, but most of the hotels are just across the sand, so we don't call them beachfront. They're more oceanfront.
Mm-hmm.
And they have great views of the Atlantic Ocean as well as the Intracoastal Waterway, which is sort of, I think what you mentioned, the water taxi sails along and can get you from point A to point B, and you get to really get to see the destination from behind the scenes. The properties that we have on the beachfront, many of them have been either renovated or brand new. I mean, we have our first Five Diamond Ritz-Carlton on the beachfront there. We have W Fort Lauderdale, which was just voted the trendiest hotel in U.S. by TripAdvisor. We have several other, you know, big brand hotels like the Hilton, which is their flagship oceanfront property. We have a brand new a renovated Westin beach resort and spa, and their sister property, the Sheraton Fort Lauderdale Beach Hotel. They're both properties that were renovated but were very popular in the 60s when we had Where the Boys Are. They were known as the Sheraton Yankee Clipper and Yankee Trader, which many people, if they were here during their spring break days, will remember those properties. But they've all sort of kind of changed now, and there's a lot more upscale property product on the beachfront there than what we had before. So I think if people haven't been here for a while, they'll definitely see a change. They'll notice that there's been a great kind of change and revitalization of the beachfront here.
Now, let's get into then like the areas that I didn't see. That's part of the tourism office there. Greater Fort Lauderdale.
Sure. Well, I think you spent a great deal of time here on Las Olas Boulevard and in the Riverwalk Arts and Entertainment District with the Broward Center, and we have, you know, several. There's the Museum of Art there and some other historical museums. But like I was mentioning, we have eight different beach communities along our 23 miles of coastal. Coastline, and you know, like you said, Hollywood beaches to our south, and they have a great they just redid their broadwalk there. It's you know, brick paved and pedestrian only, and you'll find on Sundays they have an amazing organic market there called the Josh's Organic Market, and it's just it's a great place to kind of go and spend a lovely morning there. Like I said, it's pedestrian only, so you'll see lots of people jogging, walking, biking. They have Surrey cycles there, so it's a little bit of a different feel because of that pedestrian only, and whereas Fort Lauderdale Beach doesn't really have that. They have a little bit more of a great open drive beachfront area so that you can do a bit of a scenic drive. To the north of us is Lauderdale by the Sea, and there have Anglin's Pier, which is a really popular fishing pier, and they are a bit more of a old, low-key kind of Florida beach town. And then to the way north of us, the very northern tip of our county is Deerfield Beach, where they too have kind of a little bit of a pedestrian promenade in front of their restaurants there and along the beachfront. And they have a great thing for families where people can go and get free surfing lessons on Saturday mornings with a professional master surfer from Hawaii. And it's about a few hours in the morning. early in the morning, and then after that, you know, you're off on your own and you can, you know, be surfing by the afternoon. So each one has a kind of a different feel, I think. And it gives people an opportunity to sort of explore a little bit more of the destination and have, you know, a bit of a change of pace, I'd say.
Now, so as you go south, after Hollywood,
On the very tip of our destination, on the southern side, just before you hit Miami, there's Hallandale Beach. It's a nice beach area, but what they have that's new there is, they have Gulfstream Park, which they've had where we have thoroughbred horse racing, and it hosts the Florida Derby. But they've just added there a completely new entertainment complex with dining and shopping. And you can really make an afternoon or an evening of it by, you know, if you go to watch the horses do their promenade around the circle, winner's circle, you can see them all dressed up and groomed, and then you can take in a race. You can go to, they have, like I said, several different restaurants and different types of shopping. There's a great place called the Cheese Course where you can taste different cheeses from around the world and do and have wine and enjoy, you know, just kind of sitting outside. They have a lot of alfresco. All of the restaurants have alfresco dining. So It's a nice new added attraction to our destination, in addition to what I think many people may know of is Sawgrass Mills Mall, which is the largest outlet mall in the country. They are probably about almost 3 miles long now, and just keep expanding and expanding. They've just added Prada and several other high-end shopping to their Colonnade Outlets section of the mall. And I think it's the second most visited attraction in Florida, they say, just behind Disney, with some over 26 million visitors a year.
Wow. So, and how about in terms of transportation, without having a car, other than the water taxi, what is
available? We have a Sun Trolley that goes around. I think it's $1 per ride, and it runs on Thursdays through Sundays, and it takes a large loop around. It goes from the downtown area to the beaches area and then back up. Hollywood has a similar trolley. As you said, the water taxi, there's always the pedicab, rickshaw guys that ride the bicycles. There's, of course, taxis. Standard taxis and car rentals.
Now, also, do you have? The stand-up bikes. Oh God, the brain just went. The bikes, then you know, and it works on like if you lean forward or lean backwards.
Oh, sorry, the Segways. Of course, yes.
Segways.
We have those.
We just made a segue into that. Right.
We do have the segues. There's some that will rent them, you know, by the hour or for the day, and there's other operators that do a actual tour with them. So yes, definitely you can see them along the beachfront there, mostly. There's also bicycle rentals. We'll soon have those bicycle locations where you can rent the bike and return the bike. I don't know, other cities have them. You pay a small fee. There's different stations for them. So that'll be something that will add to the you know, the transportation options here on the beachfront. But it's. I think most people probably get around either via the water taxi or rental car. But depending on where you stay, like you stayed on Los Feliz Boulevard, and it's a great walking area. You can walk the Riverwalk, is 22 blocks long, and it connects the entertainment area with the with the Last Little Shopping and Dining area, and so you can get around without a car. It just all depends on kind of what you want your experience to be. If you want to stay sort of in a local area like the beach and downtown in Fort Lauderdale, a lot of things are really, it's kind of very close-knit and very accessible. But if you wanted to make a jaunt out to the Everglades, let's say, that would be, you know, an hour drive, and you'd probably want to rent a car for something
right.
like that.
Let me ask you regarding the Segway. Now, I know I was looking it up. It looks like if you're doing the tour, it's like in a park.
Well, they start off in the for the tour, they start off in the park, but then they take you out onto the beach area and then do a whole tour of the you know, Fort Lauderdale Promenade there. But it starts off at Hugh Taylor Birch State Park, which is where
Have you ever done a Segway tour?
Yes, I have. I'm not as coordinated as I'd like to be, probably, but it was great fun. It was a good way of getting around, and it does make it, you know, kind of it's a bit, you know, easier than doing a bike tour, I guess.
What I'm curious about, where do they allow you or don't allow you? I mean, I know you can't, like, ride in the streets.
Well, the sidewalk is pretty wide, and you'll see lots of people will be rollerblading, biking, you know, jogging, running, and that's mostly where people would be doing the Segways, on the sidewalk there, the wide sidewalk in front of our white signature wave wall. But there is a bike lane on the street there, and so if you had to, you could be in the street. But I would suggest that if people were going to use the Segways, and I think most people do suggest, they would stay on the sidewalks, because it is kind of a heavily trafficked kind of street line there. A1A is a popular road, and like I said, it's a scenic drive, so I think most people would probably prefer to stay on the Segway on the sidewalk.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm.
I've done enough of it. Like, you know, when I go to the next Segway, I just like hop on, ready to go. But if you do it, it's like if you do it enough times, you know, you really it's like a bicycle.
Mm-hmm.
You know that you're going to get on the bike, and you're not going to think about, oh, am I going to be able to balance myself?
Right, it just sort of comes to you, right?
So it kind of does the same thing you get on and, oh, yeah, I know how it works. You know, and you just go with it, you know. And that's what I like about it. But it's, you also have to be able to endure the fact that you're standing for a long period of time too.
Yes, I think that's definitely part of it. And I think also you just have to get used to the idea that, like, you know, you have to kind of push your weight forward. So, you know, at first it's a strange feeling, and most people would probably, you know, that sort of fight or flight kind of feeling of like, no, I don't want to fall forward all the way, you know, so you'll pull yourself back, and then it will end up stopping the motion of the Segway. So, but again, you know, there's, I guess it's, you know, it's a trade-off. Either you're standing for quite a bit of time, or you're, you know, really, you know, exerting a lot of energy by doing, you know, a traditional kind of bicycle tour.
Oh, yeah. I call it the lazy walking tour.
What you need to get is also, I guess probably the best thing would be is to either have somebody do the work for you, like a pedicab, or get one of those bicycles that are actually also have, I think they do rent those too, is they have bicycles that have that are electric as well. So you're sitting, but it's doing the work. The electric's doing the work for you, kind of like the Segway.
Oh, yeah, okay. I have trouble regarding bicycles. I can go on them, but I hate that the invention of the handles, the brakes being at your hands.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
That absolutely, I still can't do it because, you know, as someone who's been driving for so many years, you know, I'm stopping with my feet. And now I'm, and what's worse, of course, as being on a bike and you're pedaling with your feet, I'm wanting to stop with my feet. And I go, can't do that.
Well, that's why you need to get one of those. Here, what we have mostly, we don't, you know, the hand brakes are mostly on sort of mountain bikes, but I think the rentals that they do down here by the beach, for the most part, they like to do those beach cruisers, which a lot of those are brake pedal, you know, versus the hand brakes, you know, the
right.
Of the more sort of mountain bike style. So I think it's, you know, that old sort of retro kind of style beach cruisers. They have those down here as the rentals, which is a great thing for people, I think, because it is kind of a nice way of getting around, and it's good fun, and you're also sort of, you know, out and about and getting the, you know, the cool ocean breezes of the Atlantic and the fresh salt air. So especially for people who are kind of, I guess, having to stay indoors and be in the heat and everything from the cold winters, it's a nice change of pace.
Oh, sure. Yeah, and I'm curious, other than because of where I was, are there any, like for somebody, like as I said, like me, who's not into the beach,
mm-hmm.
Is that like, are there any other areas where there's, if I call it something to do? I mean, you know, that there's enough to do to stay in another area?
Well, yeah, I mean, I would say that, you know, there's other places I didn't mention, like, you know, the Seminole Hard Rock Hotel and Casino, which is in Hollywood, Florida. It's not beachfront. It's a little bit off the beach, but
right.
It's sort of it has its own entertainment complex with the Seminole Paradise with lots of shopping and dining and nightlife. They obviously have the casino there, and they have a nice pool area as well and a spa. So I think there are other things to do for someone who's coming for, you know, a quick getaway that isn't really into the beach but wants to enjoy, you know, the warm weather. I mean, with the Seminole Hard Rock, what's nice about their casino is that they have blackjack and poker and Vegas-style slots. So they have just about most of the gaming classification, with the exception of roulette. They don't have that. That would be the only thing that they're sort of missing. But
yeah, and I also wanted to ask you about. I'm trying to get this. Like, you can take the water taxi, and then you can take it. There's like a connection so that you go to another area?
Well, the water taxi has now just introduced new service to Hollywood, Florida, from the Fort Lauderdale area where they were traditionally. And then they also have the opportunity to, you can take the water taxi to South Beach for the day and come back. So if you didn't have a car and you weren't renting a car, but you still wanted to kind of say you've been to South Beach or be able to do some of the shopping that's down there, they...
South Beach, meaning Miami.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you can take the water taxi to South Beach. It leaves in the morning, comes back in the afternoon, and so it's a great opportunity to, you know, if you did, you know, to stay in Fort Lauderdale and you know have the feel of staying in Fort Lauderdale and some of our attractions, but you still wanted to say, I've been to South Florida now, there's a cachet with saying I've been to South Beach. So now you have the opportunity to go there for the day, and it's only, I think, about, it's a really nominal fee, something like, you know, $25 for the round trip ticket. So it's a lot less expensive than taking a taxi or renting a car.
Yeah, and how about, like, if you're doing the connection to Hollywood, is there also a separate charge?
You know, I think it's the same as the regular pass, which is just $20 for an all-day pass.
Okay, so in other words, you can get a pass for the day and go all around, I guess, Fort Lauderdale and Hollywood.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, that's pretty good.
Yeah. It gives you a chance to explore some of the other areas of South Florida without, you know, having to rent a car or worry about, you know, transportation. You can utilize the water taxi, and they're traveling on an inland waterway, so those people that are afraid of being seasick, you know, don't have to have that worry. It's a really
right.
calm. It's a really calm sailing.
And let's say once I would get to Hollywood, is it walkable for whatever I want to do? Or I don't mean walkable or.
Yeah,
you know.
I mean, like I said, they have their own trolley system as well within the city.
Okay, yeah.
It goes to the Broadwalk, to their downtown area and their arts area. So there's, you know, some walking, but, you know, you can also get around via
the trolley. Oh, okay. Just so you could really, yeah. In other words, I didn't spend enough time in Fort Lauderdale, did I?
You didn't. You'll have to come back again.
I think so. I think my cousins are going to want me to come back anyway. Because we had lunch at the Pelican Resort Hotel.
Yes, I saw the photos on your blog.
Oh, you did?
Yes, I did. So I'm sure they had a great time with you being here visiting. That's a lovely property, too. They're one of the few, like I mentioned, that's actually on the sand, on the beach.
Mm. Yeah, I'm going to probably like next week I'm going to have the owner and the food and beverage manager on the radio show to talk about that hotel. It's lovely, actually charming, and the history of it, and we'll get into when I have them on. But, well, are you, by the way, do you take advantage of going to all the shows that are in the area?
I do, yes, as much as I can. I heard you were talking to the Broward Center, and I'm planning to go see West Side Story when that comes in the spring. So, but I've seen several other shows there, like Young Frankenstein and The Lion King and Stomp and Rent when they've come through town, the Phantom of the Opera, all of those shows. I know you saw Les Mis, which is
yes.
one of the best shows they have that comes through. So that's definitely nice.
I highly recommend seeing Spring Awakening.
Oh, okay. Oh, well, definitely.
Really?
Sure.
I mean, it's one of those. It's interesting when it was on Broadway. I mean, there were people that must have seen the show like 50 times. It's that kind of, you know, a thing. But
wow.
I had commented. Well, the comment I made was that the music itself is one of the, and I have to say the recent, meaning it's not like Sound of Music or the classic kind of, you know, soundtrack, you know, of the music, but I could sit and listen to the CD of the music and enjoy it. As like I did when I, you know, like Hair is another one. So I'm just going to highly recommend that you get to see this. And maybe you can they even have the $25 tickets and you sit on the stage. If you can handle.
Wow, that sounds like a great experience. I've never been that
it is.
Before.
It's really, it's an experience. It's a hoot.
Well,
so,
also, also there's some other things that are going on in the Destination in the Arts section. I mean, the Museum of Art just launched their exhibition that's going through end of April is Vatican Splendors. So it's the Vatican Art Exhibition that's here. And right now we're giving away tickets to prize as a prize on our Facebook page. So if people go to facebook.com/visitlauderdale, they might have a chance to win tickets to it. We also have some other contests on our website, sunny.org/win, where people can actually win a trip down to Fort Lauderdale if they'd like as well. So they can definitely check that out as well.
So it's sunny.org.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
SUNNY.org. So sunny like sunshine we have here.
Yeah.
And,
you need some.
So we have different contests on our website. People can win to come down. We have some contests on our, like I said, our Facebook page. So if they, if people fan us, they have a chance to answer the question and try to win tickets to Vatican Splendors. But that's running through end of April, so people still have time to come down and catch it. I witnessed the uncrating of the pieces and there's some really, really amazing pieces of artwork, things like that were created by Michelangelo, and so it's a moving experience. I think everybody would enjoy. You don't necessarily have to be of a certain religion or faith.
Okay. Well, I'll return. I'm definitely going to return.
Well, that's good. Mm. We look forward to welcoming you again.
Yeah, and I'll eventually get to, you saw Esther and Eunice's blog at this point.
I did.
But I'm not up to date yet. I got their blog. I do their blog first because it's shorter. And so, mine gets a little more detailed, and I'm going to wait to sort of, get rid of this bronchitis before I sit down and just start spending time typing on
the computer. Well, that's definitely a good idea. You need to take care of yourself first, for sure. Your health is important.
Yes. And I appreciate you calling in and telling us about sunny Fort Lauderdale, where the weather is wonderful at the moment.
Yes, it is.
Not in New York City.
Aw. Well, thank you for having me. It's been a pleasure.
Yeah. Okay. And you have a great day, and I'll be in touch.
Yep, you too. Okay, bye-bye.
Bye. Yes, that's sunny.org. Oh, goodness gracious. I don't know what it's doing out there. It's like it did something here, today, or this morning, sort of, a term precipitation, but it's, I understand, expect more. Someone had been... was trying to call in, and I guess they were hanging, and I didn't acknowledge the person. Well, if they, you know what I'm going to do? Wait, I have to put the light on in here. Okay. I'm going to do, I'm allowed to dial out. Is it the hoot? I'm allowed to dial out. And I'm going to call, I'm going to do something. Let's see if this works here. Okay. I'm going to dial someone at the Riverside Hotel. See, I'm not going to say the phone number out here out loud. just let's see if she's there. Okay. Okay. It's dialing. Let's see what happens here.
The office of Marianne Aitman, Director of Sales and Marketing at the Riverside Hotel. Please leave a message after the beep. If you need immediate assistance, dial 0. Ask for the sales and catering office. Joanna will gladly assist you. Thank you and have a wonderful day.
Please record after the tone. When finished, press the pound key for more options or hang up to send the message.
Okay. I'm hanging up. Okay. Didn't get that person. I should actually call the hotel directly. But because I don't have things in front of me, I can't do that. Well, okay. Then what I'm going to do is I'm going to end the show early and have something to munch on. And my next show, I still want to continue with doing stuff on... Fort Lauderdale, of course, and also some have some products that I kind of want to get into as well, and some things that I've tried. Some things are being sent, and so until the next show, everybody have a good day, evening, stay healthy, of course, and talk to you soon, I guess. Bye.